as the Zman comes to a close, it's only natural to think of the future. Many of us will hopefully be coming back for June Zman. Such a wonderful opportunity to learn Torah Lishma, Basma Derabba, without any distractions. But we all know eventually even June Zman will end and the summer months will begin. Some of us will continue learning in various programs, but some will find themselves in a very different sviva. Whether it's attending summer school on a secular college campus or working in an office or a science lab. For many of us, this will be our first encounter with the non-Jewish workplace in the outside world. And of course, for those who are graduating in just a few weeks, this summer might be the beginning of a totally different stage in life, when we'll find ourselves on a daily basis outside the comforts of the Beis Medrash, trying to carefully balance our commitment as Torah Jews with the pressures and demands of professional life. How does a Torah Jew properly engage with the outside world? What are some of the things he should be looking for? What are some of the pitfalls that he should try to avoid? These are tough questions. Unfortunately, time doesn't permit us to give an exhaustive presentation. I'd just like to share with you two thoughts, which I think are critical to keep in mind so that we can navigate the outside world properly and successfully as Torah Jews. The first thing to bear in mind is that we always have to make a Kiddush Hashem in everything we do. What does that mean? It means, first of all, that integrity has to be impeccable. We have to be honest to a fault with our employers. If we want time to daven mincha during the day, we have to make sure that we're entitled to that break. Before we use supplies at the office for our personal needs, we have to first check to see that's an acceptable perk of the job. We have to be careful not to steal time from our employers by shopping online when we're supposed to be doing work, by coming late and leaving early when we're supposed to put in specific hours. There are some people who like to call in sick the day before an extended holiday vacation. Not because they feel sick, but because they want to have a little more vacation time. That's not something that a Ben Torah does. And if you think that people don't notice, think again. Everyone picks up on this. We have to be so careful to be above board in everything we do. We also have to act properly with Midos Tovos. We have to treat everyone with Derech Eretz, speak pleasantly to people, especially to non-Jews. This applies not only to our colleagues and co-workers, but to all non-Jews, whether it's our neighbor, the super of our apartment building, a cashier in a department store. We have to treat everyone with Derech Eretz, all non-Jews. Everyone. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Aleph says, Kol Talmud Chacham Shenimtza Revav Al Bigdo Chayav Misa. Any Talmud Chacham who has a stain on his clothing is Chayav Misa. He's worthy of punishment. Why? Because he makes a bad impression. You see, people associate a Talmud Chacham with Torah. So when a Talmud Chacham looks unkempt, they feel estranged from Torah. They say to themselves, what do I need this for? If this is what Torah produces, I don't want to have any part of this. There's a beautiful Me'iri on that Gemara. The Me'iri says that the word revav is lav davka. It doesn't only refer to a physical stain, but rather shum dover maguna, hein b'malbushav, hein b'midosav. If there's anything disgraceful about a Talmud Chacham, whether on his clothing or in his actions, in his midos, in the way that he conducts himself, he's worthy of criticism. Because if a Talmud Chacham has improper midos, that also makes a bad impression. Maybe even a worse impression than dirty clothing. A Talmud Chacham always has to be so careful not to tarnish the reputation of the Torah that he represents. A wise man once said that nowadays, every observant Jew is a Talmud Chacham for this halacha. Because the outside world doesn't distinguish. It lumps us all together. It's so critical, therefore, that each one of us be so careful with the impression that we give to the outside world. The way we deal with people defines who we are. It determines how the non-Jewish world views us. And you know, not only can it produce a Kiddush Hashem, sometimes it can actually save our lives. They tell a story about three mashgichim in a meatpacking plant who once got locked in a freezer. When the guard finished closing up the building at the end of the day, he came to the man at the front desk to say goodbye, but the man told him there still are people inside. "What do you mean?" asked the guard. "I checked every room, I closed every window, I turned off the lights, there's no one left inside." "Trust me," said the man, "there still are people inside. Come, let's go find them." And they went through the building room by room and they found the mashgichim locked in the closet, in the freezer. They had passed out from the cold. And who knows, if they weren't found, they may not have made it. But luckily they were found. The guard was stunned. He turned to the man at the front desk and asked him, "How did you know? How did you know that these men were still inside?" "It's simple," said the man from the front desk. "Every day when these men come to work, they greet me with a good morning. And at the end of the day, they wish me good night. Not everyone does that. I look forward to their good wishes every day. So I noticed when they didn't pass by the front desk tonight. That's how I knew they were still inside." Sometimes a small Kiddush Hashem can go a long way. Yonason Rosenblum, the famous author, tells a story that once he met the editor of a newspaper in Detroit, a man who happened to be a Catholic. And that man told Mr. Rosenblum that he'll never print an anti-Israel ad in his newspaper, an anti-Israel article in his newspaper. Why? Because of what happened to his mother. His mother, Mary, was the live-in maid of a Jewish family, the family of the president of the local Orthodox shul. One time they went away in late December on vacation, and they were scheduled to come back on the night of December 25th. As the day of their expected return came closer, Mary, whom they had left in the house, realized that they'd be coming back on December 25th without a tree, without any holiday decorations. So she went out and bought them a tree and lights and some paraphernalia. And she decorated the house and the front lawn. She made it Lebedik, so to speak. She wanted the family to be able to celebrate properly when they came home. The family drove up to the house, and the father was a little taken aback at first. It certainly didn't look like their house. So he figured he must have gone down the wrong street. So he drove around the block again, but there was no denying it. It was their house. The man didn't know where to put himself. He got out of the car, walked up to the front door, only to meet Mary grinning from ear to ear. The man quickly sized up the situation and realized what had happened. "Mary," he said, "that was one of the nicest things that anyone has ever done for me and my family. Thank you so much. But I just want to tell you, Jewish people don't put up decorations on December 25th. Said that editor from Detroit, "I'll never run an anti-Israel article in my paper because of the way that Jewish man treated my mother." That's how we all have to behave. We have to learn to act in a way that people will look at us and say, "That's a Jew. That's a mensch. That's a special person." This is the first point we should keep in mind when dealing with the non-Jewish world. But there's a second point as well. And that is, no matter how comfortable we feel with our colleagues and our co-workers at work, we have to be so careful to maintain our distance and be mindful of the fact that we're Jews. In Parshas Chayesara, Avram Avinu asks the Bnei Ches to help him find the proper burial plot for his wife Sarah. But he begins with a statement, "Ger v'sosha v'anochi imochem." At first glance, it seems like a stira, a contradiction in terms. How could Avraham Avinu be both a ger and a toshav, both a resident and a stranger at the same time? Said the Rav, it's no contradiction. Avraham Avinu was simply expressing the dialectic, the tension that every Torah Jew lives with constantly. On the one hand, he feels comfortable. He feels like he belongs in society. But at the same time, he feels like a stranger. It sounds like a stira, but that's life. That's the delicate balance that every Torah Jew has to maintain. We all know that Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri. Why? Chazal say, because kol ha'olam kulo me'ever echad v'hu me'ever echad. Avraham Avinu was different. He felt separate from the rest of the world. This is Avraham Avinu we're talking about, the Amud HaChesed, the one who went out of his way to be Machnes Archim, the one-man Kiruv machine. He wasn't exactly the kind of person who sat in a corner away from people. And yet, as much as he engaged the outside world, he felt separate from it. He felt different. He felt like a ger. He felt a little estranged. We find later in Sefer Bereishis, when the Sara Mashkim describes Yosef to Paro, he calls him Na'ar Ivri. What a striking statement. Yosef, after all, was the multi-talented manager of Potiphar in the Sarbes HaSoar. He was able to interpret dreams. He had an understanding of people, of Egyptian society. And yet the Sara Mashkim refers to him as a Na'ar Ivri. He meant it as an insult. But in a sense, it was the biggest compliment he could ever have given Yosef. Because it said it all. That no matter how talented Yosef was, no matter how well he blended with Egyptian society, with the Egyptian people, he was always different. He always remained the same Ivri that he was when he was back in his father's house. That's the kind of attitude we have to cultivate as we enter the outside world. We might feel that we can compete, and indeed we can. We have the skills, we have the talent, we have the know-how. We can be successful in professional life, but we're still different, and that's something we should never forget. Sometimes it's easy to be different. Kashrut certainly goes a long way to separate us from the outside world, but we have to be careful. It used to be that an Orthodox Jew at a business lunch could only have a drink, but now he can have a 3-course meal brought in from a 5-star kosher restaurant, so the difference between himself and the other people at the table has become blurred. But there are other areas where we have to be careful. The language that we use. You know, vulgar language in the workplace has become part of the ambiance. It's like the wallpaper almost. And sometimes people even think that some words are not so bad. They can even add some emphasis. They can make a point sound stronger. But that's still not in keeping with Kedoshim Tiyu, as the Ramban explains. That's just not the way a Ben Torah talks. Then there's the empty pursuit of materialism. So much of the Sichas Chulin in the workplace revolves around how people spend their money. The vacations, and the homes, and the cars, and the clothing. And we just get sucked up into that lifestyle. We want to feel like one of the guys, but it's not good. We have to learn to scale down. I'm not saying we should live in a hovel, but we can't pursue materialism with the same fervor as society at large. That's what much of the world lives for. It shouldn't be what we live for. We have to be different. And then there are the social get-togethers, the holiday parties, the drinking after work. I've heard horror stories of how marriages have nearly fallen apart because of what was said or what was done while chilling out after a long day at work. I've been told that even hanging around the water cooler can be spiritually damaging nowadays. Look, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but it's really a jungle out there. And the only way we can survive as Torah Jews is if we maintain our distance. It's not easy. It takes Mesiris Nefesh, but doesn't the Torah sometimes require Mesiris Nefesh? Pasuk says in this week's parasha, "V'nikdashu b'sof b'nei Yisrael." This is the mokar that sometimes we have to give up our lives for Torah. We have to make the supreme sacrifice, the ultimate mesiras nefesh. But sometimes we're not asked to go that far. Sometimes we're asked to make only small sacrifices, to live a higher life, a more refined life, not to allow ourselves to be dragged down by the decadence of society around us, even if it takes a little mesiras nefesh. How do we maintain our uniqueness? How can we effectively fight the forces around us and remain true to our Torah principles? The answer is by strengthening our connection to Torah. That means that while we're still here in yeshiva, we have to learn with all our might and develop a connection, a kesher with Rebbeim and with the Chevra that can serve as a beacon of light, as an image in our mind's eye that we can think of even after we leave yeshiva. What do Chazal say about Yosef? That just as he was ready to give into temptation with Eishes Potiphar, he held back because the Mus Diukno Shalavim Niras Alo B'Chalom, the image of his father Yaakov appeared to him. What this means is that Yosef evaluated everything he did in life through the prism of his father's teachings. He always asked himself, what would father do in this circumstance? How would he react? That's how he was able to resist such terrible temptation. It's so important to have a point of reference, to have a Rebbe, to have some kind of subconscious image to prod us constantly, to guide us, to give us the right perspective. That's the kind of cumulative effect that all of our years in yeshiva can have on us. But it can't stop there. We have to be koveya itim la Torah even after we leave yeshiva. And the key is not the amount of time we dedicate to Talmud Torah every day, though obviously the more the better. The key is that it should be a kfias. It should be a set amount of time that's sacrosanct, that's kodesh kadoshim, that we won't break for anything. It can be in Gemara, it can be in Halacha, it can even be Mishnayis. A Seder in Mishnayis every day, if it's a set time, it can give us tremendous chizuk. The key is to have a kvius, to keep us anchored as we try to navigate through the rough seas of the secular world. If we approach our encounter with the outside world with the proper perspective, with a Torah perspective, then hopefully b'syata d'shmaya, our experience will be a positive one. It will give us a renewed sense of purpose and help us become even greater than a Torah.